This week, soccer star Katie McCabe said that she suffered with imposter syndrome in 2017 when she was made Republic of Ireland captain at just age 21. I understand that, but it doesn't just happen to people who play in stadiums. It can happen in all walks of life. In fact, a 2020 survey said that over 80% of people suffer with it. But is it something that you suffer? Is it something that you embrace? What is it? Well, neuroscientist Brian Penny is here to talk about imposter syndrome. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
What is it? What is imposter syndrome? We hear it time and time again. It's becoming a bit of a, well, I'm seeing it more and more often for some reason.
It's becoming topical. Yeah, topical.
Better. Yeah, what is it?
Do you know what? I'd love to frame all of this in my favourite story that I've ever heard. Frame the whole conversation, that story. It's a story about a little eagle who thought he was a chicken. So this farmer one day found an eagle's egg when he walked down to his farm. It fell out of the tree and he couldn't put it back into the tree, so he put it into his chicken coop. So a couple of days went by, the little eagle hatched, he looked around and he thought he was a chicken. So as the weeks went by, the months went by, the little eagle started flapping like a chicken, clucking like a chicken, doing all those chicken things. And as the months and years went by, this little eagle just thought he was a chicken. He was conditioned into thinking he was a chicken. And then one day, he looked up to the sky and there was this eagle soaring through the sky, like just gliding, barely a beat of its wing, floating through the sky. And the eagle was like, wow, what's that? And all the little chickens turned around and says, that's the eagle, the king of the skies. But you're just a lonely chicken. That's what we all are. We belong to the earth. That's all we'll ever be. And the little eagle died thinking he was a chicken. So it's a tragic story. It's not my favourite story
Jesus
for that
Christ,
reason.
Brian, I wasn't expecting that.
So what this was a story told by a guy called Anthony DeMello. And what he was saying was that basically many people in the world, we have so much potential, but we're like chickens, we're like eagles living like chickens. We're trapped in the chicken coop because of stress, anxiety, limiting beliefs, like we're imposters. We're not putting ourselves out there into the world. And I just think that story really fills into this imposter syndrome, because at its core, imposter syndrome, it's a belief system involving feelings of not good enough, not competent enough, feeling like a fraud despite the evidence that says otherwise. And that's the really interesting thing. So the little eagle might fly up into the sky, he's gliding with the other eagles, and all of a sudden, I'm not a real eagle. Like, I need to go back down at that chicken coop, but I don't feel I'm a real eagle. And I think it's interesting as well, because it disproportionately affects high achieving people as well. So even though the evidence is there, they are flying in life, they're doing well, but they just have this feeling of imposter. I don't feel like I belong in this situation. It's a really interesting phenomenon.
80% of people suffer with it.
Yeah, I never heard that stat. That's incredible.
And suffer. I mean, how would it affect your life?
I think the big thing, it just holds you back.
Yeah.
It literally holds you back. Like, you might have dreams, you might have ambitions, but it's
Low
level anxiety, because you're not living to your true self. Like, if at your core you believe that you can fulfill certain ambitions, but it's sort of the fears are holding you back, there's going to be like a friction there, and it's just going to be causing problems, and you're going to feel like, I can achieve so much, but I just can't. I can't fulfill my ambitions because
of it. Does it all go back to how you think about yourself? Because someone once told me, if you have negative thoughts about yourself, you're going to have negative ideas. If your ideas are negative, you're going to have negative actions. If your actions are negative, they're going to have negative results.
Yes.
So it all starts with that thought about yourself or how you perceive something. So do we need to get better at how we speak to ourselves and think about ourselves in certain situations?
Definitely. And I think that's the crux of the matter right there, because imposter syndrome, if you feel you think you're an imposter, you have a belief system that you're not good enough, that belief is going to stop you from taking the action that you need to take to get to the next step. So what we need to do is we need to sort of reframe those beliefs. We need to change our relationship with the beliefs and the negative self-talk that we have. Like, it's really like an inner critic keeping us in our box, stopping us from getting out. And it's probably, from an evolutionary perspective, it's probably a protective system. Like, don't get in danger. Don't put yourself under pressure and be anxious because you might get hurt. Okay, I'll stay in my box. I'll stay in the chicken coop.
And do you think that's why the numbers are so big, over 80%? So we can't always blame our parents on this one or our surroundings. It could be just something within us that it's there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, because I never thought about this before, but opportunities, like with social media, with the internet, opportunities are all around us. So all of a sudden we have these opportunities. So I might be able to do that. I might be able to start my own online business. I might be able to start my own podcast. I might go for that promotion. So opportunities, especially in the Western world, have never been more ubiquitous. So all of a sudden the opportunities are there. So there's more of a level of feeling like an imposter.
Okay, how do we know if we are suffering from imposter syndrome or it's genuine self-doubt that's warranted?
Yeah, and that's a really important one as well, because, like, at the end of the day, like, let's say myself, let's say all of a sudden I want to become an athlete, right? I'm in my 40s. I have to have a reality check there. That's not self-doubt, that's just reality. So we have to really fact check where you want to go. So there is self-doubt and there is imposter syndrome. So I think what we really need to do, we have to sort of stress test our assumptions that are actually holding us back. Challenge the truth, challenge the assumptions that are underlying the beliefs. So if you want to go for a promotion, but you're going to feel like an imposter, or let's say you step into a job and you feel like an imposter, I can't do this. Well, actually ask yourself, check the truth of those assumptions. Well, can I do this? Am I doing a good job? Am I capable of this? Or is it just self-doubt? Which can be like, self-doubt can be a good thing. It can push us on. It can drive us on to take actions to push us forward. And I think that really can bring us back to this idea of imposter syndrome. It's not necessarily a bad thing. If you are not experiencing imposter syndrome, it means it's likely that you're not taking risks, you're not pushing boundaries, you're not trying to step out of the chicken coop, let's say. You're not trying to step out of where you are in the world. So it's about reframing this idea of imposter syndrome and then checking, is it self-doubt or is it actually, am I capable of what I'm trying to do here?
Because I keep going back to this stat, over 80% say they suffer. So it would hold people back. Can people break free? I mean, if that's just inherently in someone to suffer from imposter syndrome, I suspect that it would rear its ugly head in various aspects of their life, maybe in a job and then maybe down the line, you know, in a relationship or whatever. So is there things that people can put in place if they know this is what they have?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think one of the things that we need to be aware of, and we've talked about biases before, they seem to be coming up quite a bit. Like, we do have a negativity bias within us that keeps us kind of safe. It's like that inner critic that's, in a maladaptive way, it's keeping us safe, but it doesn't really keep us safe in the world we live in today. It just sort of keeps us trapped. So what we need to do is to become aware of these biases, that there's going to be a bias towards negativity. There's going to be a bias towards confirming confirming the bad belief that's going to hold you back, because at its core, that's going to stop you from pushing out and stop you from taking a risk, which the ego or that sort of limbic part of the brain sees as a safe place, when what you really need to do is push out. But there's a question I absolutely love this question, and it's for all areas of life, to be quite honest. It's I once heard, so it's really framed in this idea of the definition of hell. And I heard this, I sent tingles down my spine, it really did. So the definition of hell is that on the last day, the person you could have become meets the person you became. It's not good. It's not good.
Horrific,
so it's
Brian.
All of that ambition. It's all of that potential. You're going to meet that person. It's like the definition of hell. And it's in, how can you actually become that person? And when you look back on it, it's our fears that are holding us back. And a lot of these are illogical fears. They're not even rational fears. So a question that I love to sort of, I deal with clients as well, and I'd ask myself at times if I'm feeling like a little bit like an imposter, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? And it sort of gives you a perspective shift, right? If take fear out of the equation, what would I actually do? Because fear, a lot of the times, is irrational. And in terms of pushing to the next step of your life, the ego, that conceptual sense of self is going to try to pull us back. So what would I do if I wasn't afraid? And that simple little question can just give you an inkling and an idea to go in a different direction.
That's a great question and terrifying. Thank you so much for coming in and discussing imposter syndrome. What's happening with you at the moment? What's going on? You're back from Kerry. Did you go to Kerry?
I'm back from Kerry. I went to Kerry. Yeah,
now,
I went
we're very excited about Kerry because you've never been to Kerry.
I've never been to Kerry. I loved Kerry. And can I give a shout out to Barrow House in Kerry, right?
Yes, go on.
Barrow House is absolutely incredible. But the star of the show is the host, Dara. And I didn't see much of Kerry because Dara, me and Natalie went to Kerry. Dara was such good crack that we stayed in the house and had the best time. She is phenomenal. Just great crack. And I'm going back and climbing Carrin Tuathail in 2 weeks. I'm going back to Kerry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going back.
Did it call you when you were there? What inspired you to? Because I know you like to hike.
Yeah, I love to hike, and I really want to do some of the big mountains of the world. But I've only done really the Sugarloaf so far. So I think I need to step it up. You don't go from the Sugarloaf to Kilimanjaro, you know.
So you're doing cardio, but that's a tough out climb.
I heard it is. So I'm looking forward to that. And my mum and dad are getting a camper van, so I'm going down for the last couple of days, and then I'm Todd up the Carrin. So that's the plan.
Did you ask yourself that question? If fear wasn't, if I had no fear, what would I do? Was it Carrin Tuathail?
Oh God, no. That'd be a bit sad, wouldn't it? Maybe Everest. I'll think about that. But it's a great question. And I think having a little tool to bring yourself back to those little questions again and again. It's implementing those tools is what's really important. So I might be asking myself today, what would I do today if I wasn't afraid?
It's a great question. Thank you so much for that. There we go. And you can catch Brian on Instagram and all of the social media at Brian Penny with an IE on the end. Isn't that right, Brian?
It is.
There we go. That was Dr. Brian Penny, neuroscientist, author, and a total imposter. Money messing. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.